Thank you, Ryan, and good morning, everybody. I want to congratulate you on being in church on January the 1st, in the morning, no less. This says to me that you have a set of priorities in your life that's putting the Lord Jesus first, and it's so good to see you. I want to say to you a blessed new year. And by the way, I also want to congratulate you. Did you realize every one of you here has perfect Sunday attendance for the year 2012 already? And there are only 52 more Sundays in this year, total of 53 in this year because it's a leap year. And I hope that you'll continue this same perfect attendance all the way. And you know, as you think about this year, I don't know whether you've made any resolutions or not, but some resolutions are hard to keep, but here are some that are attainable. I'm sure you could do this. You could resolve to gain weight, at least 30 pounds this year. It could happen to you. That's easy. Another resolution you might like to make is to get further in debt. That's happening to a lot of people. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? Another resolution you might like to get to do, and that is to get into an entirely new rut and just stay there all year. But I want to encourage you to think about resolutions that we find in this book. How many Bibles came to church today? Let me see. That's wonderful. Now, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And while you're turning, I want to just say that Adrian and I are so honored to be invited by you to walk with you for a little bit during this interim time as in transition as you are prayerfully anticipating God's choice of a new pastor. How many of you are praying about that? Oh, good. I hope all of you are. By the way, I want to tell you this good news. Your new pastor is alive someplace on planet Earth. And you can anticipate that the Lord, in His good timing, will bring him here. I hope you're praying for the search committee and for the leadership of your church during this time. And I want you to know that in this new year, it could be, and I trust it will be, that God will bring to you that pastor of His choice. Let's pray for that. Another thing that could happen this year, think about this. Jesus could come again. Are you anticipating that? Are you ready? God wants us always to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But in between now and then, the Lord wants us to live because He's already here. In the person of His Holy Spirit who indwells us to help us to live the way we ought to live between here and the return of Jesus Christ. May I say, by the way, I'm so glad that you as a church are a missionary-minded church. And what a joy it was for Adrian and me to see standing here a moment ago our sister Lori. God bless you, Lori. And as you leave us again in a couple of days to go back to Portugal, may the Lord prosper your ministry. And this is just one of a number of missionaries that this church enfolds and supports in prayer and finances. And so we are a church with a world vision for what God wants to do until Jesus comes again. But what's supposed to be happening to us right now? As you look at chapter 5 of Ephesians, I want to build up to my text today. In the good old King James Version, verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You'll find that same phrase again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, to redeem the time. Another way is to say, make the most of every opportunity. That's what it's talking about. But to get the context of verse 16, I want to begin reading with verse 1 of Ephesians 5. May I invite you, in reverence to the Lord and in honor of His word, would you stand with me as I read to you, I have in front of me the New American Standard Version, and here's what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, or as it says in the King James Version, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May God bless this reading of His Word. Let's pray. Oh God, we take this Word which is in our hands and ask that You will apply it now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Well, as you see on the screen there, a clock. I hope you like clocks. And in fact, the fact that you're here today probably is because you looked at a clock, or a clock woke you up today. But I want you to think with me about a clock. I like clocks. Let me show you one of my favorite clocks. There it is. I took this picture a while ago. Adrian and I had been in Africa working with Christian Horizons in Ethiopia and our special ministries to special needs people there. And on our way home, we spent a couple of weeks in London. And what you're looking at there in the middle, most of you would remember, would recognize that, is what we call Big Ben. I took this picture after we'd come out of Westminster Abbey, where you'll recall just a few weeks ago there was kind of a famous wedding. You've maybe heard of that wedding. What was it? William and Kate. You know who they are. And they were married in that Westminster Abbey. And after we came out of that, and I took this picture of Big Ben, and by the way, I think you can notice here, let's see if I can just point that out. Right there is what's called the London Eye. That's a great big Ferris wheel. And on another day, Adrian and I took a ride up there, and we got right about to the top. I'll show you with a picture. Here's the next picture. I took that from that spot, looking down on the Thames River and the Westminster Bridge, and there's the Big Ben. And, of course, the Parliament buildings for the British, the country of Britain. And, by the way, you can now here see there's Westminster Abbey right there where the wedding took place. But that clock, isn't that an interesting clock? And I love to hear it. And at the quarter hour, it goes, bum, 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 bum. And you recall that Westminster chimes. By the way, let's take the next picture. There was a lady by the name of Ruth K. Jones who heard that music. And it was during the Second World War, 1944. The war was still raging. And everything was tough in the world. And what times these are. And as she heard that sound from her own grandfather clock, bum, 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 it seemed to sing a song to her. In times like these, and she wrote the song, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Sing with me, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. This next picture I want you to see tells a little poem that I like. Would you read this with me in unison? The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do God's precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Did you realize we're all on a one-way street? We can't go back and live 2011 over, can we? Or any other part of the past. We keep moving forward. It's a one-way street on into eternity. And the poem that we just read tells us of the importance of even every moment that God gives us to make it meaningful and count for eternity. Redeeming the time. And I want you to think with me about seven reasons why I must make time count. Now, in your bulletin, you'll find a little page that if you'd like, and I would encourage you to take notes and write down some of these words just so you capture the significance of how to make time count. And why should we make time count and make the most of our time every day? And the first reason is this: because the days we are living in are evil. And that's what we read just a moment ago in verse 16, making the most of your time or redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you believe that? Have you read your paper recently? Have you watched or listened to the news? Have you just watched as you've moved through society? These are evil days, and they're not getting any better. In fact, if you would compare today from 10 years ago, this nation of Canada has slid farther and farther into immorality and wickedness than ever before. And things are getting worse and worse. And this is going to continue until Jesus comes again, by the way. Now, praise the Lord that in the midst of this evil, the Lord in His grace is reaching out to people. He's doing it through His people in drawing people to Christ. For instance, in the last 10 years, there are people in this congregation sitting here today who wouldn't have been in a church 10 years ago, but are today. Why? Because they heard the gospel. They received Jesus as Savior, and they love the Lord, and they're ready for heaven, and they're eager to serve the Lord between here and heaven. And I won't ask for hands, but I'm sure a number of you in these past 10 years have come to know the Lord. And that's what God is doing in the midst of this evil world. But that's one of the reasons why we need to make time count, because this is an evil generation. These days are evil. Here's a second reason I want you to see, and it's because my lifestyle affects other people. Now, we find this in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, which is the other passage of Scripture that uses that same phrase, redeeming the time, or making the most of every opportunity. Here's what it says in that verse: conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, or redeeming the time. Did you know that people are watching you? You may think that you're living your little life all by yourself, and the attitude of the world is, I can do or think or say whatever I please as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But as John Donne said, no man is an island. Nobody lives without affecting the lives of other people. And God is just like salt. Remember Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth? And as you travel all around the world, here and there you'll find how God has sprinkled his salt all over the place. If you go to Portugal, and where Lori is ministering, and you just saw a picture of some of the salt that the Lord has put there. She's there, and a team of missionaries serving the Lord there. They're salt there. Did you know God placed Temple Baptist Church here as salt in this society in which we live right here? And he's done that because he wants our lives to affect outsiders. When it says outsiders, that means people who have not yet received Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not yet in the family of God. It may be that there are some in our fellowship this morning who have not yet stepped into the family of God by receiving Jesus as personal Savior. I've got good news for you. Wouldn't this be a wonderful day to spend January 1st and begin this new year who has been an outsider and come in to Jesus and receive him into your life? And may I encourage any of you who have never yet received the Lord Jesus as personal Savior and Lord of your life, you can do that right here this morning and begin this whole year and for the rest of your life and for all of eternity living for the Lord. But our lives affect outsiders. And that's one of the reasons why we've got to make the most of every opportunity, redeem the time, and make it valuable, because we won't have another opportunity to touch those lives. I want to give you a third reason why we must make every opportunity count and redeem the time, and that is because God makes time count. Yes, he does. God doesn't waste time. God has a timetable for everything in this universe. In fact, when we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 about Christmas, about the coming of Jesus into this world, about 2,000 years ago it was, but that was in the fullness of time, it says, God sent his Son. Jesus came exactly right on schedule when he was born in Bethlehem. And by the way, I've got this news for you. Jesus is coming again, and it's going to be exactly right on God's schedule. And between now and then, we need to make the most of this time. God is on time. God makes the most use of time possible. God makes time count. Yes, he does. But let me give you a fourth reason why we should make time count. And it's because time is running out. John 9, verse 4, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, The night is coming when no one will be able to work. Work while it's daytime. What Jesus was saying is, we can't count on forever just to do whatever we want. So don't waste your time. Make the most of this time, is what he's saying. Redeem the time. And God's giving to us at least the first part, at least the first day of 2012. And if the Lord hasn't returned in this year, I hope that he gives to all of you here 366 days of this year. But did you know, let's be frank, a crowd of this size, it would probably be impossible to bring all of us back together again like this a year from today, January 1, 2013. Why? Because one or more of us will be missing. And for us, this is our last year. That could be for me. In fact, it's not just one year. It could be just one day. In fact, did you realize that every one of us is just one breath from eternity? Just one heartbeat from the end of this life, an entrance into an eternity. And so time is running out. Jesus said, work while it's day. The night comes when no one can work. Did you realize each one of us has an expiry date on us? When you go shopping and you check for, I was doing that with eggnog I found last week in the store, but I checked its expiry date. I just wanted to make sure that best before, that sort of thing. But each one of us has an expiry date. But it's only God who can read the barcode. He knows. My times are in thy hands, the Bible says. And so you can relax on that, can't you? Knowing that God has a timetable for everything, including how long I live on this earth. But time is running out. That's why I need to make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. Let me give you a fifth reason. Because I must give an account. That's why I must make time count. Because I must give an account of how I've used my time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us this. We must all, and that's talking about all believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's kind of scary, isn't it? The Bible also teaches us that we must give an account of every word, of every thought, of every action. That's kind of scary, isn't it? And it ought to be scary. It ought to scare Jim Reese enough to never want to sin again, because I know that I must give an account to my God. Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 to 30, Jesus is speaking a parable about a rich man who gave to three of his servants talents, to one five, to another two, to another one. And he said, I'm going on a long journey, and when I come back, I want you to have used these talents to multiply their effect. Well, when he finally came back, the man with five talents had gainfully used what he had. He'd made time count. He had another five, a total of 10 talents. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And the guy with two talents, he'd also done with what he'd been given, and he multiplied his as well, so he had two more talents. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then there was this other fellow to whom he'd given one talent, and when he came back, he hadn't done anything with his talent. He just buried it. And the Lord rebuked him very severely, and if you will read the account, it was a very severe result. And when I think of that, it reminds me, Jim Reese, the master, Jesus, who has given to me abilities and to use for His glory. Someday I must give an account of that. Oh God, help me not to mess it up between here and heaven. I hope every one of you will say the same thing. Make that your prayer this morning. Help me, oh God, to use the talents you have given to me and multiply their effectiveness to be an honor to your name so that I won't be ashamed when Jesus comes back again. I want you to see another reason why we must make time count. Because the opportunities are so great. Did you realize there are all kinds of opportunities around us to be multiplying the effectiveness of the witness of Christ through our lives to this needy world? For instance, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, Paul is saying that an open door, a wide door of effective service has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries. But he says the door is wide open, so many opportunities. As he was serving there in Corinth, or where he was actually writing to the Corinthians, but in Ephesus is where he was when he wrote that letter. And he says, so many opportunities are here. And God has given to you, if you just see the opportunities God has given to you and me in this year to honor Him, to live for Him, to serve Him, to bless other people, oh, how wonderful. Are you excited about this year? And think of what God is going to do in this church, in this year. God has wonderful plans for Temple, for the church, and for the school. And I'm thrilled that God's given me the privilege for these next weeks or whatever to be walking with you, and so I can see with you something of what God is excited about doing here. And I hope that all of us will just say, praise the Lord, God's at work and we're a part of it. I want you to think about this also. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, oh, the harvest is plentiful, so much opportunity, so many people who need the Lord. And may we be the workers who share this good news of the gospel. Let me give you a seventh reason. I'm sure we could find many more, but let's stop with seven. That's enough for today, you think? Anybody tired yet? There may be a bench you can just slide around and just lie down there if you're maybe no, you're okay? Okay, we'll take number seven. Here we go. Why should we make time count? Because the consequences are so final. Ouch. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's talking about hell. Oh, how sad. Did you realize there are only two destinies in everybody seated here today? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. Every one of us seated here today is going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. In fact, the Lord's laying on my heart to maybe preach in the next few weeks here, on a message of heaven and how to get there, and also on hell and how to avoid it. But there are those two eternities. Every one of us is going to be in one of those two places forever and ever and ever. And the consequences are so final. Oh, may God help us to make every opportunity count for the Lord. As you look at this next slide, I want you to see this. Would you read this with me? I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. If I waste it, can't excuse it. I will suffer if I lose it. So it's up to me to use it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Wow. In this month that is before, this year that is before us of 2012, there are 12 months. There are 52 weeks and 2 days. There are a total of 366 days in this year because it's a leap year. You know how many hours? 8,784 hours this year. And by the way, we're talking about minutes. I have only just a minute. Do you know how many minutes are in this year? 527,040 minutes this year. Isn't it amazing how much can happen in a minute? And isn't it wonderful when a Christian says, Lord, I want to use every minute of my life to honor you, to please you, to walk with you, to think of you, to meditate on your word, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many of you remember the chorus, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. You remember that? How many of you remember that little chorus? Many of you do. Well, the same man who wrote that wrote this chorus as well. Alfred B. Smith wrote this way back in 1941. With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. And when you think about time in the light of eternity, it makes such a difference, doesn't it? And so every day, project your mind into, I'm going to be with Jesus. If you know Jesus is your Savior, and you look back from heaven to how you used 2012. And may you then say, oh God, may I be able to redeem the time to make the most of every opportunity. Well, we talked about making resolutions a moment ago. A little over 300 years ago, there was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards who was born in the eastern part of the United States. Jonathan Edwards became one of the greatest minds, thinkers of North America. And he became a Christian, and he became one of the greatest Christian thinkers in our world. And a wonderful Christian. And through him, God brought a great sweeping revival into the New England states. And one of the messages that he preached was sinners in the hands of an angry God. And as he preached that message, there was so much sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit bringing a holy fear of God upon the hearts of people that people were gripping onto the seats right in front of them. Just feel that seat in front of you. Yeah. And they were hanging on to that seat, almost feeling like they were going to sink into hell if they didn't get right with God. That's the kind of man that Jonathan Edwards was. But when he was 19 years old, anybody 19 here? Well, if you are, some of you are. Some of us have been. But when he was just 19 years old, he made some resolutions. Not just one. He made a total of 70 resolutions. Would you like to read them? May I read them for you? I have them all here. No, I won't take time to read. I've got five pages, some on both sides. These are, and by the way, if you'd like to check them out, just go to your computer, Google Jonathan Edwards resolutions, and boom, you'll see them all. But may I just read to you three or four of them. As a 19-year-old, this is what he said. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. I like that, don't you? Some people die before they die, you know. He said, I want to live as long as I live with all my might. Here's another resolution. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. If you knew you only had one more hour to live, what would you do? You wouldn't want to be dishonoring the Lord, would you? And that's what he's thinking. Here's another resolution. Resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. It's proper to think about death so that you'll make the most of life. He goes on to say, resolved when I feel pain to think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. Think of that. Maybe some of us will know what pain is this week, this year. Maybe some of you are sitting there saying, this is a pain just sitting here. Well, God bless you. But you know, God can use pain for a number of things. One of the things he can use it for is just to remind us of the pains of those who died because they loved Jesus, martyred. Not just hundreds of years ago. Do you know this past year, hundreds and thousands of Christians were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. And when you think of what the Bible describes about hell and its pains, that's a motivation for us to want to share the gospel with everybody who needs to hear the gospel so they will miss that kind of pain. But here's one more resolution I want to read to you from Jonathan Edwards. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Well, that would be one good resolution for all of us to make. I would encourage us to do that. As we close today, I'm pulling out my wallet. By the way, Lord, this is yours. Everything you are and have belongs to him, doesn't it? But I have something in my wallet I've been carrying for 21 years. You can't see it there. Can you read that? How's your eyesight? Can you read that? But I had seen this, and when I was pastoring it at that time at Benton Street Baptist in Kitchener, I prepared a message that I called A Total Commitment. And I preached that on February 17 of 1991. And I got printed up cards like this because I'd seen one. I said, oh, that's good. And 2 days before I preached that, I said, if you're going to preach this, you better apply it to yourself, Jim Reese. And so I took one of these cards, and this is it. And I put my, and here's what it says, Lord Jesus, A-A-A. Anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. And I prayerfully signed my name, and the date is February 15, 1991. The next day, or 2 days later then, I challenged the people in my congregation to make that same commitment. And I had printed up some cards, and I invited the people who would make that commitment to take one of those cards and let them sign their own name and put the date in it. 4 days ago, Adrian and I were visiting a dear lady in the Freeport Hospital over here in Kitchener. One of our dear woman who has been walking with the Lord for years, such a saint. And as we were chatting, she pulled out her, she knows that she only has, the doctor said, maybe 3 weeks to 3 months at the most, as cancer is invading all of her body, and so she's in palliative care. And she's not an old lady, 68. I say that's not old. And she took out her purse and out of her billfold, and she pulled out that same card that she had signed. She said, I didn't ask her. She just thought about it, and she pulled it out. She said, and there it was, her signature, February 17, 1991. For 21 years, she's been caring, and she's been living that kind of a life. And it occurred to me after seeing that, maybe it would be appropriate here at Temple to share that same opportunity with our people today. In fact, that's why I put several packages of cards in my pocket here. And Adrian's got some more. And you know, wouldn't it be wonderful on this January the 1st to take this opportunity for all of us who know and love the Lord? Many of you have been walking with Jesus real close for years. Praise the Lord. You're going to keep doing that, aren't you? It may be that some of us have been a little reticent to do that, but today the Holy Spirit, who is also here, is speaking to our hearts and saying, this is the day. Get on board. Get walking with Christ. Make time count from here to heaven. And what I'd like to do as we anticipate the ministry of the closing song, and Ryan and team are going to be coming. In fact, I'm going to ask you to come right now, team, would you? And come in place, and they're going to be leading us in a song, Knowing You, Knowing You. That's really, really fits with what we're thinking about here. I would like to invite those of you who would like to make that commitment to, let's bow our heads right now, shall we? And if in your heart you can say these words, Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. And if you could put your spiritual signature on that to the Lord and say, Lord, I mean that. I want to live for you with all of my heart from here to heaven. I would invite you to make that your heart commitment. Oh, Heavenly Father, do the business in our hearts that needs to be done right now. May none of us reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May we embrace Him today afresh, putting Him first in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.